Tech Weekly with Jake Brown. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of Tech Weekly. Tech Weekly is a show that will happen every Friday night from 8 o'clock to 8:10 p.m., and I'll tell you the biggest tech news that has happened in the past week in under 10 minutes. So, starting off with some exciting gaming news, Microsoft is adding xCloud streaming to its Xbox Game Pass Ultimate for free this fall, which will allow users to play games over the internet similar to how you stream Netflix movies. This new feature will come to anyone who pays its $15 per month or $60 per year Game Pass sometime in September. This subscription was launched 2 years ago and allows buyers to access more than 100 free games each month and will now have this new streaming feature. Through xCloud, players will be able to access their games on their phones or tablets while on the go, making the game much more convenient. The goal is to deliver console-quality gameplay to a less capable device. Sony's PlayStation Now and Google Stadia are also trying the same service, but they are cheaper at $10 per month. We talked about Google Stadia in one of our previous episodes, so make sure to check that out. What's cool about this service is that Microsoft does not want to limit this service to only Xbox users and plans to offer this technology in different ways in the future, which is quite exciting, especially for our gaming fans. Next up, a new website called Windows Swap is letting you look at pictures, views from all over the world. Since we've been inside so much during quarantine because of the coronavirus pandemic, and not all of us have a good view outside our windows, Windows Swap is allowing people to look at the good views from other people's windows from all around the world. This website was developed during quarantine. The variety is amazing, including views from a field in Austria, a mountain in Switzerland, a boardwalk and ocean in Japan, the skyline of Singapore, and many, many more. These videos are pre-recorded and about 10 minutes long. If you wish, you can submit a video of your window view exactly in your window frame, and you must include your name and location. Veering away to the pre-recorded option was quite smart, for it prevents the site from turning it into some other sites that are not as appropriate. The creators of this website expressed that they want it to be a small expression of kindness for bored people and hope that it's a reminder of the positive ways of the internet. Some of the videos are quite interesting though, one of which includes a man hanging his laundry in Shanghai, China. Thankfully, you can skip this and go on to something else. While we can't travel right now, this is a great alternative until we can finally go outside to enjoy the rest of the world around us. In some more, let's just say, interesting news, Instagram is planning on releasing its competition to the TikTok app in the US and 50 other countries in the coming weeks. This new feature, called Reels, is Instagram's attempt at a TikTok-style feature which allows users to record short musical videos. Reels will let users record and edit a 15-second video clips to set music, or users will be able to reuse audio from another person's video as commonly done on TikTok. So far, Reels is only available in a few countries, including India and Brazil. India has recently banned TikTok, which we talked about in a previous episode of Tech Weekly, which it allows Reels to gain a major following among many people of India. In the past, Instagram has taken features from other apps, most notably the story feature from Snapchat, and hopes to achieve the same success as it did in the past with this new feature. This launch also comes as the US is also looking at a ban on TikTok in the coming weeks, so for TikTok users in the US, Reels will be a saving grace. Reels will live inside Instagram stories, which for haters of the TikTok style isn't good news. These videos may also not be permanent, unlike TikTok, unless users specifically add them to their profiles, kind of like the highlights feature with these stories. One thing that is super unclear, though, is how we will find Reels to watch, either living in the Explore tab or having an entirely new tab just for Reels. Keep your eyes peeled for a new update to Instagram, which may feature Reels in the near future. Now on to our favorite news, Apple News. Apple has announced that they will be making their ARM processor chips as it moves away from Intel's chips and will be putting them first inside their Macs, which we did discuss in previous episodes of Tech Weekly. Anyway, these Macs will be more like iPhones than ever before. all of the apps that run on iOS will work natively on the new Macs, meaning there will be a huge amount of software ready to go on day one. Bringing the platforms together could also mean a new burst of Mac apps that are universal all across Apple products. This new ARM-based structure means it will be easier to expand iPhone and iPad apps onto the desktop platforms, which will encourage developers to do this. This new ARM processor may also mean extreme design changes. After Apple changed their own processor in their MacBooks, the product underwent major design changes, which may be on the way to the new iMacs. A lot is uncertain for the Mac, but what we do know is that this new ARM processor will make Mac much, much better. As we said earlier, the White House said that restrictions on TikTok come in weeks as the social media app becomes political. This either makes you really excited or really bummed out. Anyway, TikTok is owned by the Chinese company ByteDance. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has stated that the Trump administration was certainly looking at banning the app, and now that this ban may come within weeks rather than months. There are a number of administration officials who are looking at the national security risk as it does relate to TikTok, WeChat, and other apps that have potential for national security exposure, specifically as it relates to the gathering of information on American citizens by a foreign adversary. Trump's chief of staff, Mike Meadows, told reporters traveling from Atlanta on Air Force One that TikTok has denied a security risk and has taken several measures to distance itself from the Chinese version of the app named Douyin. I could be pronouncing that wrong, so forgive me if I am. Anyway, in response to Pompeo's comments, the company stated, TikTok is led by an American CEO with hundreds of employees and key leaders across safety, security, product, and public policy here in the U.S. We have no higher priority than promoting a safe and secure app experience for our users. We have never provided user data to the Chinese government, nor would we do so if asked. U.S. lawmakers remain unconvinced, pointing to China's national intelligence law that requires internet companies to provide data when the government demands it, and although TikTok has an American CEO, the company still is Chinese. For those upset about this, it sucks to suck, and we will see when this ban arrives and what effects it will have. So, Twitter has had a bad history with being hijacked, with one of these hacks reviewed a couple of weeks ago. Most recently, thousands of people were scammed out of their money after hijacked accounts of verified users promised to double the money fans sent to them via cryptocurrency Bitcoin. These messages reached a total of around 350 million Twitter users, and it made the scammers more than $110,000 in a few hours the scam was active. Although that's a lot of damage, the experts say that it could have been much, much worse had these scammers played their cards right. Some of the accounts that have been taken over were Joe Biden and Kanye West, two other presidential nominees that present a prominent threat to President Trump. This means that either hackers were Trump supporters and wanted to ruin Biden and West's campaigns, or that the scam just came from the Trump administration as sabotage. There also could be some other ones as well. However, these are just conspiracies. These hackers even managed to hack the accounts of Apple and Uber. This breach brings a major safety concern on Twitter and may lead to reconstruction and improvement of the security and privacy on the social media site. Entering the Samsung Cero, aimed at the millennial social media crowd, it wants to change the way you consume Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, and more with an eye-catching party trick, the ability to rotate from horizontal to vertical at the touch of a button. The fact that Samsung provides instructions of how to turn the Cero's box into a house for your cat is merely an added bonus. At $2,010 for just 43 inches of screen, however, you're definitely paying a premium for that fancy swiveling action. We do not know whether it is worth the expensive cost for what it doesn't seem as a worthwhile purchase. The Cero is an alternative to hating a TV in your living room with its unusual build. Angled back with a soft touch material at its base covering the speakers, Samsung is clearly going for something resembling a futuristic easel. They've gotten mixed opinions, some hating and some loving, nothing really in between. The Cero's default state is in a vertical form, which coupled with its built-in screensavers consisting of picture key, scenes, posters, or various clock faces, aims to make it appear to be anything other than a spinning TV. It's worth pointing out that you will want to set up the Cero with plenty of room on each side at first, just to get a better idea of how much real estate the screen needs. Samsung has good TV performance, but whether it will be successful is still unclear. It fits a very small opinion, but if you're into that, I hope you're willing to pay the $2,000 for it. In other news, Vivo has announced the international launch of its new X50 series of flagship smartphones, including the X50, the X50 Pro, and the X50 Pro Plus. The headline feature is the gimbal-style camera on the two higher-end models, which Vivo says represents a breakthrough improvement on traditional optical image stabilization systems for both photos and videos. The X50 Pro Plus sits at the top of the range with a Qualcomm Snapdragon 865 processor, up to 12 gigabytes of RAM, a 120Hz 6.6-inch curved OLED screen, and a 4,350mAh battery with 44-watt fast charging. Wow, that is very fast charging. Anyway, the primary camera uses Samsung's new 50-megapixel ISO cell GN1 sensor and Vivo's gimbal system. The X50 Pro cuts down in a few areas. The processor is a Snapdragon 765. The curved screen is 90Hz. The battery is a 4,350mAh battery and only charges at 33 watts. And the maximum amount of RAM is 8GB. Now, these specs are still pretty good. It's just a bit of a step down. The main gimbal camera uses a 48-megapixel sensor, while the ultra-wide telephoto and depth sensors drop to 8, 8, and 13 megapixels, respectively. It is quite a bit thinner than the Plus, though, at 8.04mm versus the 8.83mm or 9.48mm, depending on the Plus's finish. The regular X50, meanwhile, has a Snapdragon 765G, a flat 90Hz screen, a 4,200mAh battery, and a 48-megapixel camera without the gimbal system. It also drops the telephoto lens altogether in favor of a 5-megapixel macro lens alongside the same ultra-wide and depth sensors as the X50 Pro. It is the thinnest of the three at 7.55mm. All three phones have a 32-megapixel hole-punch selfie camera, dual-mode 5G, and Wi-Fi 6. They all run Vivo's FunTouch OS 10 based on Android 10. The X50 series will initially launch in markets including India, Indonesia, Russia, and more. This is exciting new development on the smartphone market, but we'll see if it gains traction once it reaches where we are here in the U.S. And more Samsung news, but this time a bit more exciting. Samsung has revealed 6G Vision. While 5G is still in its beginning stages, Samsung is already making plans for a 6G future. In its report, Samsung predicted that the earliest commercialization of 6G could occur as early as 2028, with mass commercialization taking place roughly 2 years after that. Samsung also sees the technology taking a huge performance leap over 5G networks, which are currently barely getting off the ground. Peak data rates for 6G will be 1,000 gigabits per second, or about 50 times that of 5G, and air latency, the time between when an instruction is issued and when it is performed, of 100 microseconds, or 1/10 the latency of 5G. However, it is a bit rash to be making predictions about something where its predecessor is still in its first stages of development. We'll see whether we're around in 2028 to talk about it, but only time will tell. Finally, with Canon having just unveiled full details on its 8K EOS R5, which we covered last week in Tech Weekly, and Sony about to launch their A7S III, Australian video specialist Blackmagic Design has gone four steps better by unveiling a 12K video camera. Using its own sensor, the Blackmagic Ursa Mini Pro 12K rewrites all the current rules for cinema shooting and will do so for under $10,000, which is still expensive, but that's pretty good for 12K, I would say. The high-quality output outperforms other cameras in its class by some margin, and it's likely to be particularly useful to filmmakers for cropping the footage in post-production for 4K or 8K output. 12K captures around 10 times more detail than 4K and about 2.5 times more detail than 8K. The new cinema camera becomes the third generation of the Ursa Mini Pro, and the family resemblance is obvious from the outside, but this camera has completely been rebuilt on the inside, and the Blackmagic has produced their own 12K sensor with a massive 80 megapixel resolution. The sensor uses an array in which there are equal numbers of red, green, and blue photo sites. The company boasts that the camera has been built for a RAW workflow using the company's own Blackmagic RAW format and its own DaVinci Resolve video editing software. The result is that despite the resolution, the video can be edited on a laptop. This camera looks fantastic, and I'm sure we will see more from the company in the future if the camera lives up to the hype. Okay, that just about wraps up this episode of Tech Weekly. Thank you to everybody that is listening. Make sure to like and subscribe, and I'll catch you guys in the next one.